I thank you, Lord, and I praise you today. I pray if there be anything about me that would keep your people from seeing you, that you would hide me behind the cross, because there's nothing about me that can bring salvation. There is nothing about me that can make people believe in you, but only you can through the power of the Holy Ghost. And so we rest in you. We trust in you to take my preaching, the words that I say, which are your words, and now communicate them to your people. It is in Jesus' name that we pray, and all God's people say, amen. There is a game that we used to play as young people that I think, it may not be, but I think is worldwide. It was called hide and go seek. Does anybody remember that game? Raise your hand if you do. All right, a good many of you remember that game. And what it was, and I hated being it, because that meant everybody had a chance to go and hide somewhere, and then you had to go and find them, but you couldn't go very far, because whoever you caught, if they came and touched the base, those who are out there, then everybody else will be free. Then you got to start all over again. So anyway, I used to love that game because you could hide behind things and people may not notice you. You could hide behind a tree or hide behind bushes or hide behind a building or hide behind people and then all of a sudden jump out and free people. Well, this morning, I want to preach on the subject of transparency. And I define transparency as Webster defines it, as us being open and being truthful with one another. In other words, that we don't withhold information that needs to be shared amongst especially God's people. Are you with me? Now, I am not saying that you should be transparent with everybody. What I mean by that, there are some people who are not God's people. And there are some people who may even mean you or the body of Christ harm if they knew certain things about you. Then you shouldn't be transparent in that situation. But in most situations, for God's people, as brothers and sisters, we need to be transparent with one another. How do you feel about that? Okay, I see a lot of heads shaking. That we should be open, we should be truthful with one another. Now, let me ask a question. How many of you have ever lied in here? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you have ever lied to your spouse or not been truthful with your spouse? Oh, a couple of. How many of you have not been truthful with a brother or a sister in your church family? Raise your hand. Yeah. There's a lot of reasons for that. And none of them are good. So this morning, I want to deal with the issue of dealing with my transparency issue. I think we all have them. Because there are times that we even justify that, you know what? I am not going to be truthful. I am not going to be open. I am going to hide some things from you. I can't tell you the number of times, and Cheryl is probably looking at the telecast this morning, so I'm going to say it, that I wasn't truthful with her because I thought that it might hurt her. And I would hear Cheryl say, look, man, I have babies. Do you have babies? So I can take anything you got to say. I just need for you to be truthful. And I can honestly say this, Miss Catherine, every time I've been not upfront with her, not truthful, it hurt worse. Do y'all hear me? It hurt worse when the truth came out. So I hope I can help all of us this morning through the Word of God to deal with the subject that we all have issues with, and that's the issue of transparency, that we're not all the time. I'm not saying that we're not sometimes truthful. I'm not saying that we just go around and we lie all the time. I'm just saying that there's some times we justify, and the worst time is amongst brothers and sisters. And we're going to go back to the beginning of the Bible, the book of Genesis. Those of you who want to look in your Bible, you can. The third chapter, every translation you want to. I am going to be using the New International Translation, and it'll be up here for those who like to use this Bible. And the book of Genesis means beginnings. It's where God started everything. And I don't know if you notice about my preaching. I preach all over the Bible. I preach in all the books. And I do that because it's more the preacher in me than it is the teacher. If it were this a teaching session, then maybe I would preach through a book. But because this is preaching time, and people need to be inspired to do better. Can I get a witness? We just said all of us at some point, we've been untruthful. So I want to inspire all of us to be truthful more than wherever we left off. So I believe God's word, every book, every sentence, every paragraph is the word of God. And it's a good word for us if we'll just take what he's saying, if we'll just take what God is saying and do it. Are you with me? This is why we preach all over the Bible, because every book is worthy to learn something from. So we see this in the first couple of verses. Now the serpent was more crafty. That means not transparent. He was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Most of you who are Bible students know that's a lie, because he did not say, I didn't give you all of it, but Eve knew what God said. The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it." Now, he didn't say that. He said you can't eat from it. In other words, you have the right to tend to the garden, but don't eat from this tree. You don't have to be a physicist to know there's only one tree here that's a problem. There's only one tree that I'm saying to look out for. There's only one tree that you need to know. I've given you law. I've given you a command. I've been very transparent with you on this, because if you eat it, you will die. Now, they don't understand what death is. They were just made alive. They don't know what that means. The word transfer actually means to be executed. So when he says that, or what she understood God say, don't eat from it, don't touch it, or you will surely be executed. I don't think that that's what God meant. And I'll tell you why in just a moment. Well, the devil, through the serpent, says, you will not surely die. The serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Be mindful that there were two trees in the garden. There's the tree of life, of which they could eat from, and my assumption is they would live forever. And then there was this tree. You couldn't miss it. They didn't look alike. God pointed it out. Matter of fact, I see him taking Adam and Eve over there right there. You see that tree? No mistake. No hide-go-seek. This is the one right here. Your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. You know what that suggests? That the only thing that Adam and Eve knew was good. If you take an O out of good, what do you have? God. And if you take a D and put it before evil, what do you have? Devil. So there's only two influences working here. God says, what I tell you? Hey, and this hasn't changed, has it? Two influences. What I tell you and what that other guy tells you. And what that other guy tells you is that there's two choices, three choices, three choices. That if you do what he says, then you're going to go. If you do what I say, then you'll go to heaven. But if you go to where he says, then you have two choices. You might ask the question, I never heard that, Pastor Ganey. What are the two choices? The two choices you have is either crispy or extra crispy. It's up to you. That's supposed to be a joke. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom. In other words, have you ever seen a fruit that you like? I mean, if it's sometimes you go to Walmart and you get these apples, you think all apples look like that. And then you go to the Whole Foods store and you say, whoa, that Macintosh right there is really turning me on right there. Well, imagine like it was pleasing to the eye. I didn't go in here to buy apples, but I tell you what, I can't pass this up. But it was also desirable for getting what that other guy said I could get. So she took some and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her and he ate it. I blame him more than I blame her because he's there. He's supposed to be the one that's the protector and leader of the home. And I hear him responding to Eve. Eve says, you want some of this, baby? And he says, well, okay. You know, I mean, seriously, how many men in here, if you saw a snake talking to your wife, wouldn't get in between them and say, okay, that's enough. Okay, that's as far as we're going. You're not going to respect my wife. You're not going to respect me. Get out of here. How many of you would have just said, okay? Not any, not many. Am I wrong or right? So here we have a dilemma. They have gone against what God said. And now they have to deal with the aftermath of that. There are four things, four truths here, and I believe that they are still relevant for us today in terms of dealing with our transparency issues. Number one, stop hiding from God. Stop hiding from God. It's one thing when we hide from one another. It's another thing when we try to hide from God, because in reality, it won't work. Because he knows everything. And he's every place. And so, which means that we ought to be a confessional people. The altar ought to be filled every Sunday with our transparency issues so that we can get cleaned up. Can I get a witness? Because the beginning of getting cleaned up is when we admit, Lord, I haven't been right. Lord, I gossiped this week. Lord, I kept the truth when I should have said, in all honesty, this is what's going on with me. Stop hiding from God. That's where you begin. Not with me, but you start with God. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. You know, all that time, they didn't realize they were naked. All that time, and nobody, matter of fact, it says they were naked earlier in chapter 2, and everything was good. And now, all of a sudden, we got a problem here. And so, what did they do? They sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. I always thought that that would be about the worst thing to play hide and seek behind. Why is that? Because once you cut a leaf off from a tree, it dies. And so you can't stay covered up very long. As a matter of fact, it'll start browning and falling off the very next day. Is it not relevant that this suggests that when we cut ourselves off from God, who is divine, can I get a witness? That when we cut ourselves off from God, who is the tree, that we don't go on living as we have before, but that we cut off our strength. We cut off our power, and it is revealed in us as we become weakened. Am I wrong or am I right about it? Fig leaves. I could imagine that fig leaves probably look like many of the trees out there. And so maybe what they were trying to do was blend in. How many of us in our dishonesty, can I get a witness, have tried to just simply blend in with today's culture, to blend in with whatever's going on, even if it wasn't right, to just blend in. But God sees it all. God knows our heart. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And what did they do? They hid from the Lord God among the trees. I want you to put an application on this. Here I am looking like the trees. And God is looking for me. He's not looking for a tree. He's not looking for fig leaves. He's looking for me. Even in my worst situation, he wants to see me. He knows me in and out. He knows my nakedness. He knows where I've got a fat tummy. He knows where I've got some other things that I'm too ashamed of, that I might wear bigger clothes or put on more on the outside so that people don't see. He knows all of that. I could hear God saying to Adam and Eve, why are you trying to look like a tree? Why are you trying to look like the things that I made that are even less than what you are? Why are you hiding amongst stuff that I gave to you for food? Figs. That's not how I created you. I need for you to be just as transparent with me as I've been with you. I say to you, Living Hope, for many of us, getting dressed in the morning is about covering stuff that we think God can't see. Y'all hear me? About covering stuff that is in our thinking. It's about covering stuff that we've allowed ourselves to experience because we were in places that we know we should have said, you know what, this is not of God. I need to get out of this place. And we try to hide it. And when the invitation is given, when we should be up at the altar saying, Lord, I have sinned. Lord, I got some stuff going on in me. And you know, God doesn't care about your title because we can hide behind titles. We can hide behind positions. We can hide behind power. But God sees all of that and says, I see those leaves on you and I didn't make you a tree. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? I don't think for a moment he's talking geographical because God can see exactly the difference between a tree and Adam and Eve. Are you with me? God can see that. I think what God is saying is, Adam, where are we? We used to have a relationship where every time I'd meet you in the cool of the day, you come running to me. You knew I was here about the same time every day. And you'd come looking for me. And now you're hiding amongst the trees. Where are you? Where are you in this relationship? How many of you have ever been in a relationship with somebody and you didn't know where they were? I'm sleeping next to you every night. I'm in the house with you every day. But I don't know where you are in this relationship. I don't know where you are in terms of my role anymore. I thought that we were husband and wife, but it seems like we're more just a roommate. Where are you? Oh, y'all don't hear me. I know you look like you haven't sinned all day, but if the truth of the matter was made known today, we'd all say there were times. I wasn't where I was supposed to be with God. And I let it slide. And when you let things slide, what happens to them? They get worse. They don't get better. I begin, if I want to be transparent, I begin with God. And this is a good place to come and practice because we give everybody, including me, an opportunity to come clean every Sunday. Can I get a witness? So that's number one. Stop hiding from God. Number two. Oh, I'm sorry. 1 John 1:9. Oh, this is a great verse. This is still with that first point there. Stop hiding from God. Why? If we confess our sins, he is faithful. You believe that? And just, and will forgive us our sins, and will purify us from all unrighteousness. If we confess, if we are transparent with God, he says, I can fix it. No matter what you've done, past or present, no matter what's going on in your life that has caused you to hide from me, no matter what's going on that makes you not be straight with me, no matter what's going on that makes you wonder where we are, I can make it right. I hear God saying, there is nothing that can separate you from my love. Just confess it to me. Susie, I oftentimes wonder, what would have happened if Adam and Eve, our great-grandpa and grandma, had confessed? In other words, instead of hiding, I know they didn't, and we can't change the history, and it's in the bloodline, came down even through their children. But I wonder that if they just understood that if I confess that I'm way, way better than if I hide, if I'm up front with God, I'm way, way better. If I'm truthful with God, I'm way better than if I hide. Some folk have hidden stuff and it's been years. And they're praying that they don't run into the person or run into an individual. It could even be somebody in your family that you're not transparent with. Am I preaching? Y'all want me to shut up? Okay. I know when it gets quiet, that means it's getting good. All right. So number one, stop hiding from God. Number two, stop hiding from the consequences. There are always consequences to sin. It doesn't matter if it's you and I or if it's God. There's always consequences. Consequences means that there is a result that happens that must be taken care of if things are going to be made right. 10 and 11. He answered. This is God speaking. I heard you in the garden. I just guess he sound like that. And I was afraid. Oh, I'm sorry. This is Adam speaking. I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. And so I what? I hid. And he said, and this is God speaking. Who told you you were naked? You never had clothes. I didn't tell you anything about clothes in the beginning. I didn't tell you nothing about clothes. Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat? You know, that's a pretty straight question, isn't it? And of course, he doesn't. He just hides. Because he's afraid. There are consequences for all of our actions. You know, in the physiological world, let's take, for instance, electricity. You're taking a bath, talking about most people take showers today, but if you were taking a bath and you had the radio, you know, the old kind that you plugged into the wall, and if it was sitting up there on the shelf and you just happened to make a mistake and pull the wire connected to the radio and the radio is on the way down and you see it falling in the water and you can't reach it, well, you just might as well say goodbye. Why is that? Because you've just broken the law. The physical law of electricity and water don't mix. Can I get a witness? I got a feeling every one of us know of somebody who experienced that. Or they got shocked. They got woken up You can't mix certain things with electricity, even metal. You ever see that picture of a kid? They like to play around. Now they got childproof sockets, but they like to stick those where you stick the, you know, and they get you. Ah! Every parent's nightmare is to see their child light up. Hey, can I get a witness? And I have to admit, I tried that trick too. And it's not a good feeling. I can still feel the shock of that right now. Why is that? Because there's consequences in the spiritual realm. When we go against the word of God, there are spiritual consequences that we incur because of that. And here's what God says about it in Ecclesiastes. This is a King James version. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it in after many days. There's another translation that says, cast your bread on the waters and it'll come back. Can I get a witness? In other words, whatever I do, it's coming back. Whatever I put out, it's coming. Is that true? Is that true? Man, I'm a living witness. I do much better today because I don't want coming back to me. Some of the stuff in my earlier life that I used to put out there. I know you haven't sinned all day long, but I'm talking about gaining right now. I don't want that coming back at me. I've experienced that too much. In Galatians 6, 7, and 8, it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. You know what that means? That means don't be a fool. God never sleeps. The same thing that you sow, you're going to reap. Whoever sows to reap to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. There are consequences. God says that if you want the best consequences in life, you got to learn something. Don't just try to please your flesh. I would suggest this morning, and I know I tease about this a lot, that, you know, you look like you haven't sinned all day, but the flesh loves what? To be pleasured. And so if you don't know Jesus, you're probably going to be doing a lot more flesh stuff. Am I wrong or right? I'm not saying you have. And don't look at the person next to you. Keep looking straight ahead. If you've ever done any flesh stuff and you've gotten the results, the consequences of your flesh, maybe you put some things in your body that you thought felt good. Can I get a witness? Maybe you have drank some things, or you have shot some things into this flesh, thinking it'll make you feel good, but it only felt good for a short while. Why? Because when you try to please the flesh, in the end, it always reaps destruction. It never turns out right. I have never seen a person say, you know what? I'm 90 years old now, and I can tell anybody, crackle, get you through life well. Has anybody else here ever heard that? You know what? I've been an alcoholic all my life. And let me tell you, it never hurt me. But I've heard time after time that by trying to please my flesh, I not only hurt me, I've hurt my closest relationships. I couldn't keep my family together. I didn't take care of my children. I didn't take care of my home. Why is that? Because when you try to please the flesh, it always ends up in destruction. The consequences. By the same token, he says if you try to please the Spirit, In other words, if you try to please God, that's Holy Spirit, you'll reap eternal life. And that life doesn't just come here. I mean, in heaven, but it starts right here. Can I get a witness? You know, why do we want stuff to please the flesh? We want stuff to please the flesh because we think it's going to last for a long time, this feeling. Am I wrong or right? I know you haven't messed around before, but I have. And so I'm just wanting you to know. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. You think it's going to last, and it never does. Well, God says, try me. As a matter of fact, he says it like this. Oh, taste and see how good I am. And guess what? I last forever. You can't get rid of me. The one thing you can never say is that Jesus turns on and he turns off. No, he is an eternal pleaser. That's why no matter what circumstance I'm in, I can have cancer and I still sing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. The consequences of not being transparent, that you have to answer for that with God and with other people. I'll never forget one time one of my family members asked me to loan him $500, which, you know, by the sakes of things, not a lot of money, not today. And I did it, you know. But my wife and I had this relationship thing that whenever we give out money from the house, we're supposed to do what? We're supposed to talk about it. And she would have probably had no trouble with it, but I just gave it. And then one day the family member was over at the house and they said before my wife and me, oh, thank you for the $500. And Cheryl said, what $500? I don't remember no $500. What $500 are we talking about? When did that happen? I don't remember us being transparent with that. I don't remember that ever coming up in the conversation. And see, where it would have been a little thing. Can I get a witness? If I had just said, honey, can we give old Uncle Bob $500, he's down on his luck. Now we got this big old problem. You give Uncle Bob 50 cents, and I want you to tell him me about it. You see what I'm saying? The consequences, we can't hide from them. That when we have not been truthful and when we have not been honest with one another, we have to pay for that at some point because the truth comes out. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. At the proper time, in due season. Heidi's not here, but I like to hear Heidi say that. She's in due season. Not Kronos time, but Kairos time. We will reap a harvest. How many of you in here that maybe you didn't immediately start feeling good because you started giving to the Spirit, but after a while, you reaped the harvest? Anybody in here can give testimony to that? And how many of you does the harvest still keep on coming? How many of you, as a matter of fact, you've gotten an abundance of harvest? You didn't even believe or even imagine what God could do. You put this much in and God gives this much back. Oh yeah, you clap on that for him. The consequences, sowing righteousness to the Spirit, will bring back way more than what you could ever get for yourself. Number three, stop hiding from responsibility. Responsibility. Now, consequences is the aftermath of when we do something. Consequences. Responsibility is the task that I have, the job that I have. Some of us, we hide from the job that we have. You know, God has given all of us the same job. He said, go make disciples. And some people, we hide. I don't know enough Bible. I don't know. We've been in the church for 50 years, but we still don't know enough Bible. And then we blame that on God. And I hear God saying, I'm not taking it no more. I'm not taking it, you sitting in a pew. I didn't save you for that. I saved you for responsibility. And I need for you to get up and get busy. Genesis 3:12. The man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. The woman you put here, and I think it's King James says, the woman you gave me. In other words, it's your fault. I didn't ask for this woman. I was doing all right by myself. I was the only person here on this earth. And you gave her to me. Actually, there must be something wrong with you. We can't run. I mean, I wish I could go into this deeper. But we can't run from responsibility. What is the responsibility of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ? Our responsibility, our work, is to make disciples. Our work is to make it plain what God's word is saying so that people can eat that good food and grow up. Can I get a witness? Is that plain enough? You mean to tell me that I don't need a title? No. You mean to tell me I don't need a position? No. But you do need to go to work. And you need to ask yourself. And you need to ask yourself, who am I discipling? Who am I helping to grow up? You know, if you have, how many of you have children in here? Most of you have children. You know, you would be put in jail if you didn't treat that child in such a way as to make sure they had an education and that they were taught how to be self-sufficient. Am I wrong or right? That if the law found out, all you did was say, and here they are, 2 years old, the peanut butter's in the cabinet and the milk's in the refrigerator. Go and get it whenever you want to. I'll be back in a month. That's how we do God's church. Am I wrong or right? And we all have been there. And I'm just simply saying to you, we need to be honest with God and we need to be honest with each other because God has sent each and every one of you, even those of you who are visiting today, that if God makes this your church, it's because God believes there's a royal priest in you. Did y'all hear me? God believes there's a royal priest in you. I've seen kids, and I mentioned this morning, I've seen kids who were born of parents who were academics or athletes who turned out to be gangsters because they hung out with the wrong crowd. And it took somebody to come into their lives and to say to them, you're better than that. You're better than that. Why are you settling for that? Why are you living at that level when I know inside of you is something better? Let me tell you, the whole world is in that position. And God is calling us to go into it and tell people, you are a royal priest. You're a royal priest. Royal means authority. Where did you get the authority from? You got the authority from Jesus. He said, Gain didn't say it. He said it. Go ye into all the world. Go ye amongst all the races. Go ye amongst all the people group, even the ones that you hate. And you tell them, I've made you better. I'm so glad that I listened to that message coming from the Bronx, New York. I'm so glad that I heard the message that said, you are better than your blackness. Don't rest on that. That's not enough. You're better than your IQ. I don't care how smart you are, what your SAT score was. You are better than that. You are connected to the vine. You can do all things through Christ. I just need for you to take responsibility. Stop going to church and be the church. Stop making other stuff. I'm not saying there's other things that we do here that's not important. I'm just simply saying what Jesus said do. Go and make disciples. I know for some of you, you're sitting there and you're saying, I don't know enough Bible. And I don't know enough this. And I don't know enough that. You know what that is? Hiding. Hiding behind your ignorance. And if you know better and you've been around better for the last however long, I'm saying today ought to be the last day. Today is the day I'm transparent. And today is the day I'm saying I'm going forward in Jesus' name. If he can use Gainey, he can use me. As a matter of fact, if he can use Gainey, he can use anybody. Can I get a witness? I'm not hiding behind my degrees, and I have many of them. I'm not hiding behind who I am or where I came from. Because you see, that won't work with God, because all that's leaves. Here I am, Lord. Use me. You are better than this guy. One of the criminals, Jesus on the cross, and remember he had the two crosses. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insult at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. Now, Jesus is very responsible because he can save anybody. Amen. And one of those criminals, he noticed that. But the other criminal rebuked him. Talking about he rebuked the other criminal. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We're about to die here in the next 5 minutes. Aren't you? I mean, we wrong. We did wrong. Though we're suffering the consequences. But do you see that this man, he is doing the work he has been sent to do. And that is to what? To save this generation. We are punished justly, but we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Jesus never shirked on his responsibility. Can I get a witness? He never shirked. even to the end, this man here, he got saved because he took his last 5 minutes and said, you know what? I believe in you. I believe that you are faith. I told it to you last week that faith is not a verb. Faith is a noun. What is a noun? A person, a place, or a thing. And Jesus is a person. Jesus is God. Can I get a witness? And so my faith is built on nothing less. You know the rest of it. Then Jesus' blood and righteousness. Old leg must be feeling pretty good. I'm getting up here a little bit better. He's the one. If he can take responsibility, then I'm not going to hide behind anything. You the wrong color. You don't have enough education. You don't come from the right culture. No, here am I, Lord. Use me. And you'll be surprised at what God has in store for you and for you and for you. Can I get a witness? Last one. Y'all want the last one or you want me to sit down? All right. Stop hiding from accountability. All right, what do we have here now? This is God's word. Stop hiding from God. Stop hiding from consequences. Stop hiding from responsibility. And now stop hiding from accountability. What is different about accountability than especially responsibility and consequence? Accountability is who you relate to that's higher than you. You know, within the church's bylaws and constitutions, there is a hierarchy. Are you with me? There is a chain of command. And so we operate in that. But ultimately, the high person is Jesus Christ himself. Are you with me? Is who I am accountable to. And God has a payday. Jesus says, even for us who believe. I'm not talking about judgment now. I'm talking about when you say, Lord, I'm a follower of yours, and then you step back on it and you start being, hiding, God is going to call you out. I've been there before. I've been called out. I don't want to be called out no more. He says this in Genesis 13. Then the Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, The serpent deceived me and I ate. In other words, for the man, he said, it's the woman you gave me. She said, it's the snake, the serpent. That's the one that I listened to. Now, our text stops here. But if you want to finish reading the rest of the story where it goes into the snake, then you do that on your own. But I want you to just deal with these two people in their hiding. You're not accountable to the snake. As a matter of fact, Jesus, God dealt with the snake right then. Can I get a witness? And he put him in his place. But you're not accountable to the snake. You're not accountable to anybody who leads you away from God. Even if they're a political figure, even if they're the president of the United States, they can't tell you to go against the word of God. They can't tell you to go against Jesus. You have every right. Thank God we live in a country that respects that, at least for right now. I am accountable. I don't know who you're accountable to. But I am accountable to Jesus Christ. You all elected me as your interim pastor a couple of months ago, 10 months ago now, right? September, end of September. And usually churches don't have a job description for the interim pastor. You know, so you got to work it out as you go along. Can I get a witness? And usually, if everything goes well, I know that generally my responsibility is to preach. You all have seen me come in here on walkers. Can I get a witness? Why did I do that? Because that's my responsibility. Who am I accountable to? I'm accountable to you, but I'm ultimately accountable to Jesus Christ. And so if I had to drag myself in here, I am accountable to Jesus. Am I making sense to you? I have one objective as the interim pastor, and that is to hold you together until you get your pastor. Do you all hear me? I won't let anything or anybody keep me from that goal. Why is this? Because that's what Jesus has called me to do. He has put me in seven churches since retiring for that main objective, to hold the body together. And I want you to know that I am accountable to Jesus, and I won't let anything keep me from that goal. Am I making sense to you? And I don't want to be the senior pastor, but I am the interim pastor. And you've never seen that side of my authority. You've never seen that side of my royal priesthood. But I know how to be that if I thought you were tearing up the church. Am I making sense to you? Why is that? Because I am accountable. I am accountable. I am accountable to Jesus. I'm going to say this and then I'm going to quit. Paul and Timothy say in Philippians, he starts off by saying, we're servants of Christ Jesus. That's who we're accountable to. In Philemon 1a, Paul says, I am a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I know who I am, and I know whose I am. Can I get a witness? I know who I'm accountable to. And in the end, as the interim pastor, there's only one legacy I want to leave here. And that is that I helped you to stick together until you got to your goal, which is to get your new pastor, some nice young guy with a good leg. All right, I'm done. Dealing with transparency. Did you get it? Did you get it? I said, did you get it? Number one, come on, y'all, tell me. Number two. Number three. Number four. Stop. Come out. Come out. Wherever you are, game over. The doors of the church are open for those who want to be up front with the Lord Jesus Christ and with one another. I don't have to wait until the next time or next week. Right now is a good time to be transparent. Why is that? Because transparency time is any time. And if ever I've not been up front with you, today is a good day. Right now is a good now. If I haven't been transparent with God, then I need to begin there. The altar is open. Sometimes we don't have the strength or the power to even go to our spouse and say, darling, I've sinned against you. I thought bad thoughts, And you need to confess those thoughts because they become a part of your life. And if you think those thoughts long enough, they turn into actions. Can I get a witness? And if you hang out with folk who think bad thoughts, they turn into actions. Lord, I need your strength. I'm going to ask our music ministers to come. I'm going to ask our counselors if they would come. And we're going to deal with this issue of transparency this morning. We're going to deal with it. I want you to look in your church. I want you to look in your home. And if you find anything in you that's not like Jesus, this is not a time where you look at your brother, your sister, you look at you. Say, Lord, clean me up from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. I can't be responsible for how somebody else treats me, but I can be responsible for how I treat you. And I promise you this. You hear me, Deacon Brenda? I promise you this. I promise you, Warren, I will be transparent with you. I will be truthful with you in my time with you. I've already told you, I don't have but one objective. Let's stand. The doors of the church are open. That means that Jesus' arms open wide. And you can come forward. These counselors up here, they will counsel with you.